title of the talk this evening is Return to Ourselves. What's that? Many people during the day have asked what it is we're doing here and what's the purpose of sitting here and watching the breath coming in, the breath going out, and where does this bring me? And the answer kept coming up in my own mind, return to ourselves. And the more I thought about it, the more I felt that that was such a mystery, this statement, return, come back to ourselves. What does that mean? So, consider ordinary life. We feel okay at times when things are alright for us. When things are going well, we feel good. And the next minute we feel sick, upset, miserable, things don't work out, and we feel bad. We have no idea exactly when the bad will turn to the good. We have no idea when the good might turn to the bad. We sit here meditating. We've been here one day and already hearing this is difficult. Pain's coming up. This is pleasant. This is great. This is quiet. In 1 hour we can go through a good moment, a difficult moment. I feel connected. I feel lost. It hurts. I don't know where I am. I don't know why I am. And it goes on around and around. We're in a situation in which everything is taken care of here. It's really a wonderful situation. We don't need to do anything. We don't need to work. We don't need to cook. We don't need to do anything. So we should all be in bliss and joy. Well, where is it? So, it's obvious that we're not really in control of things. The feelings that we have to life come and go, and our response to that is that we feel more and more scattered and fragmented. Scattered means mufuzar. I'm very happy, by the way, if someone asks me for a word, I don't mind. Although there will be translation afterwards also. So we feel scattered, we feel in pieces all the time. And one of the main reasons is that we are working intensively in our life to keep getting things better. We work all the time to try and sort out life so that it does better things to us. We want money, we want a better job, we want a career, a life path, we want our family to be happy, our people to be happy, ourselves to be happy, and we work and we work and we work at this endless task, which is the task of pushing the stone up the hill. And then we feel, with all this work, that we lost ourselves. We want to come back to ourselves. We want to rest. We want to stop. We want to find ourselves. And we go on a holiday, or we go on a retreat, and we go to nature. And if it works, and we do indeed find ourselves to some extent, and by the way, it doesn't always happen on a holiday, which sometimes is the most stressful place that we can possibly be in, because we want more and more and more. But when we have a feeling of returning to ourselves, wherever it is, it can be by the sea, or it can be in a retreat, or it can be a walk in the nature, it may have certain qualities about it, this feeling. And one can well be just obviously being less busy running to serve ourselves. less running, less chasing to be better, to find the better. So we're less busy. The second quality is that we are less concerned with the future and the past. If we think of ourselves feeling the joy and connectedness of a walk in the nature, we might feel that quality of there is no future here, I don't have to think about what's next, I don't have to think about what was. That's here, it's here. And this feeling of being in the present naturally makes us feel back to ourselves. It has another quality, and we don't need to do meditation for that. Beauty helps us to feel right here. We watch the sea, we watch a tree, and we feel here. And that alone can make us feel back to ourselves. It has a sense of belonging, this feeling, and it has a quality that maybe we don't recognize, but a quality of withdrawal from identification or from being pulled all the time by I need, I want, I don't want, I must have. We may not recognize it, but there is a quality of withdrawal, meaning coming back from being all the time out into what we want to do, what we are, who, what we like, what we don't like. Here, in this context of practice, we practice a simple attention. We're just attending. Tsumat lev, that's all. To things that are very, very simple. I breathe, there is breath, the breath comes in, the breath goes out. Extraordinarily simple. I put one step, one foot in front of the other. Extraordinarily simple. Too simple. And if we feel in the practice, we have those qualities of connectedness with ourselves. It comes by itself. We withdraw from our interests. We feel ourselves in the now, and the sense of the power and the presence of now, of there, the present. It brings us to a feeling of being at home. And we feel connected. And it just happens. We don't force the connection. We don't ask to be connected. It just happens. And then we have a feeling, I am back to myself. It just happens. But one thing that is clear is it is not connected to whether we have a pleasant or unpleasant experience. Because when we are in this now, although the breath seems very simple, it actually opens a whole big story of other things. And we can feel good, we can feel bad, we can feel pain in the body, we can feel a pleasant moment of peace and quiet. So we can feel good, and we can feel bad, and we still feel ourselves. So being ourselves has nothing to do with feeling good. Being with ourselves or returning to ourselves is about seeing. Being in the now and seeing, meeting ourselves in the now, in the present. This quality of being less pushed and pulled, pushed and pulled, pushed and pulled, is the image in the traditional text is of the elephant. And the elephant who is moving off alone into the forest, and he feels the autonomy and the dignity, and he is just moving by himself as a great dignified human animal human being who is with himself, Not pushed, not pulled. The seeing, just the seeing, just being attentive, noticing things, reduces this sense of being scattered and all over the place, and fragmented and in pieces. An example that comes to my mind, because my daughters are going through this process of university courses, which courses and so on. I remember when I went through the same story, the pain of having to make decisions. Am I going to do this? Am I going to be like that? Am I going to go in this direction or that direction? If I go in that direction, I miss all this. If I go in that direction, I miss all that. And if you, I remember the feeling if, when I was in that same situation, it was a nightmare of trying to predict the future, of trying to hunt for the future. What's the best future for me? And night after night, thinking, the mind racing, turning, not being able to sleep, not knowing how to make a decision. Just a small example. The minute you can see the process of not making a decision, it's all very light. It's not, it's very light.
What do you tell your daughter?
To see, just to see it, just to watch it. I can't predict the future, just watch it, just be attentive to the pain of not being able to predict the future, just be aware of the fact of conditions pushing me here, pushing me there, and it's more like we're with ourselves. We're back to ourselves again, knowing that it's difficult to make a decision because we don't know the future, knowing the pain of it, knowing the sense of being caught in conditions which we have no control. It's painful. Fine, just see it as a painful experience, but we're with ourselves, instead of being pushed and pulled and pushed and pulled. So returning to ourselves is really seeing the way conditions affect us and the way we are depending on conditions all the time. I'm reminded of, in the Jewish mystical tradition, there's a lot written about tshuva. Tshuva as return. And many times it's said, tshuva is opening the inner eye. It's not just saying, I'm sorry for what I did wrong. It is seeing. Rav Kook says, tshuva is riya, is vision, is seeing with the inner eye. So we may not like what we see. It may be a bit of a mess, what we see. But the seeing is itself bringing us back to ourselves. And it may bring us many more things. A quotation from an Indian sage woman says, for years I searched for God. Luckily, he found me on the day I was at home. So, the interesting thing about being not with ourselves, being pulled and pushed, is it has a great power. And in the Eastern traditions, this power is seen as a kind of a spell, an enchantment, a kind of a magic spell, or an illusion, in which we imagine, we see the world as something that we want to get something, take something, we want, we use, we need, and so on. We are totally identified with what the world does to us and for us. And this is regarded as maya, the illusion. We are in it. We are in the play. We cannot withdraw. The act of withdrawal is very important. To take back a little bit our total identification with I want, I don't want, and all of this, the pushing and the pulling of life. Another image that's used is an image of sleep. If we are there totally in those conditions, we don't see them as conditions, we just, as na'im, we just are in it, it's sleep. And the opposite of sleep is waking. So when we are aware and observing, attending to the way conditions affect us, we are already awake. We woke up. Because we're not in the conditions, we're actually seeing the effect of conditions on us. Like, I'm in a situation, like I said, about this, having to make a decision. The decision causes me pain and discomfort. I can't predict the future. Here's a whole pattern. I'm in it. It's affecting me. So that's the seeing of the pattern. And that's waking up. Being in it completely and not seeing anything is falling asleep or being enchanted, being under the spell. And mythology is full of stories of how to wake up. And something that touches me in the film Agatha Vipassana, maybe many of you have seen it, and I think it's a wonderful film, but it has this scene where prisoners in an Indian jail are practicing for 10 days and they come out with, in India, practice, yes, Vipassana, and they come out crying. And you feel, I've seen this film 15, 20 times, and most of the time, almost every time, makes me cry. And why it makes me cry is I see so much hope, because something is broken. When you see these guys coming out from their conditions of life that made them a prisoner, and they say, I did this, I didn't do that, they blame me, I blame society, they're caught in the whole story. But when they come out, they're crying. Some of them are crying, and you feel a spell has been broken. They see something. They see the seeing, and this enchantment of life ought to be like this is broken. Suddenly maybe they realize, okay, there's a bigger picture here. I did something to somebody, they did back to me, I'm now in prison, that's the condition of life. Now I see, I cry, I understand. Just an example. When we see ourselves subject, meaning affected by conditions, we can also feel a lot lighter. A lot lighter. We can take ourselves a lot more lightly. In the context of our practice here, this seeing is, in a way, vipassana, clear seeing. And just a few words about how what we're doing and what we're practicing in these few days can help us to wake up. Firstly, one of the practices we're doing is learning to be steady. Learning to have a steady, attentive, quiet mind. It's like we learn to shine the light of the mind on something specific in our life. We chose the breath, and we shine the light of our awareness, our consciousness, on the breath. If we keep doing it, it gives us a sense of steadiness, of focus, and we're using our mind in a different way. We're already not using our mind to follow interest in, to be pushed and pulled in the conditions of life. We are using it to penetrate, to look at our life. So that's the first thing, to steady the mind so as we can use it to be able to wake up, to see our condition. Steady. Muzan, izun, yachiv, yachivut. We breathe, we calm down, we reduce all the noise and we begin to focus our mind in a steady way. Then, when our mind is steady, and as we steady our mind, we can begin to see more about the conditions. We can begin to see, okay, here's a pain. I don't like it. It's unpleasant. But I don't have to do anything. I can actually just use the mind, be aware of this thing called pain, my relationship to it, how it's developing and changing. I sit here steady, I receive the pain, I am a partner, Mishuta, with this experience of pain. And as much as I can sit steady and be with the pain and watch it and see how it changes and see what it does to me, that much I'm not pulled and pushed by the condition. I am independent, I'm like an elephant, sitting here, steady, strong, and watching phenomena, events, things happening. And I don't need to do anything. And this is part of the process of waking up and seeing the changes happening to us and not being caught in the magic spell of having to fix it all, change it, do things, get it better. It can be pain, it can be pleasure, it can be joy, it can be difficulty, it can be fear, it can be boredom, it can be nothing much, dullness, it can be interest, it can be anything. There are no rules, or at least there are rules, but they're too big for us to work them out. Anything can happen, and that's fine, that's our biography, our story. But here, what we do is we receive our story, knowing it is the result of conditions, our past, our personality, our conditioning, hatnaya, our this, our that, the way we were born. We just take it much more lightly, and we withdraw from having to do things about it all the time. But here comes a bit of a paradox, and this is where it turns into something a bit more mysterious. Because if we connect to ourselves, we find that we connect to life. The breath is breathing. And it's actually, if we feel with the breath, it's not really Stephen's breath. We don't claim, or Simi's breath. It's not, we don't have balut on the breath. We have shayachut, we have relationship, shayachut, but not balut. It's just breathing. So gradually, as we return to ourselves, we feel with our own experience, we may find that we are actually experiencing life itself, as it comes up for us, as it flows, as it arises. So, it's a life perspective that slowly grows. And it's a very strange thing that as we come back to ourselves, we actually find we're coming back to life, or back to life itself. And so as we come back to ourselves, we're actually coming back to something else. The pain is not really me, it's just pain. So we're coming back to a flow of change which is not really me. So, in some way or other, as we come back to ourselves, we may find we have less self-importance than before. And this is the paradox. Feeling less self-important by seeing conditions and ourselves in the middle of the conditions. Self-importance, chashivut atzmi. In the Bible that I like, that gives this story very well, is the book of Iyov. And it's interesting because it's very much the kind of story I've been telling now. Iyov was subject to one condition after another that he didn't like. Immense amount of suffering, and he didn't expect it. He was a good man, he was moral, and despite that, more and more suffering came to him. And it came from life, from fate. He wasn't in control. And he complained, and he complained, and if you remember the story, all his friends, the most of the story of Iyov is about his friends, that came with all kinds of rationalization. And they're very much like the voices in the mind. If we have a problem, then the mind says, I don't deserve it, I did deserve it, lo magia li, ken magia li, it's because of that, it's because of the other, it's because of them, it's because of that. These are his friends. The whole book is about his friends talking what normal human beings say when they have a problem. All the stuff in the mind that goes around to try and understand this problem, to work it out. Which is exactly what happens with us when we have a pain or we have a fear or the mind goes, I'm guilty, I feel bad, shouldn't be like that, I should feel different and life shouldn't do that and I deserve better and etc, etc, etc. These are all the voices of the friends of Eeyore. But at the end of the book there is liberation for Eeyore. And it says in the text, Eeyore wasn't a very wise man. He was a good man, but he wasn't very wise. It needed a whole book of many, many pages for him to wake up. And in the end of the book, it's very clear. God says, okay, life says, you are made by conditions. So how can you say what the conditions ought to be? You know, God says, do you have anything to say? I made the itush, the mosquito. You got anything to say about that? Can you do one of those? So in other words, Eeyore understood or got the message that he was made by conditions, so he himself cannot say what the conditions ought to be. And it's a really interesting metaphor for us that we are essentially made by, I don't know what, some molecules, stardust with a bit of consciousness in there. And then we collect around us a family, a name, a body, a society, a people, a views, an endot, and positions and ideas and this and that and that. Just a little bit of stuff from the stars. It makes a big noise and collects around itself a huge balloon of interest and this and that, and then wants to control itself and control what comes. And busy all the life trying to push and pull and this and that and sort it all out. And if we reflect for a minute that if we come back to ourselves and we feel that we're subject to conditions, and more than that, we are made from conditions. The fact that we exist at all is the result of conditions from which we have no control whatsoever. It's a mystery. There's one quote that sums it up very, very well from great Zen master called Dogen, who says, the spiritual journey is to meet ourself. To meet ourself is to lose ourself. To lose ourself is to gain everything. So with that, that's all I want to say, and let's have a few minutes of quiet together.